And I told Brother Hall here some time back that I really felt impressed and I need to take the Sunday school back at some point in time. And I'm just going to get a kickstart today and maybe, you know, come back a little bit later and try to look at some of these things as God would help us. And it's, and I'm just going to tell you, when you find out what I'm preaching on and why it's so important, I almost feel like I need to preach it on Sunday morning just by virtue of people being here to hear what's said. And so, Jesus in verse 13, He comes into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asks the disciples, says this, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want you to see verse number 17. And Jesus says this, Jesus answered unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now what I want us to look at, and we're going to consider just for a little while, is the importance of the church. The importance of the church. And specifically, I'm going to talk about the importance of the local church as when we go through and actually get started in the study. But I want to show you something here that is very important. Jesus says in verse number 17, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. And here's what He says. Notice this. For what? Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now what did He reveal? That Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. That was a supernatural opening of Peter's eyes and understanding. That is not there, and they'll say this, it's not a coincidence that the Lord says in verse numbers 18 that upon this rock He would build His church. What do you mean by that? What did Peter profess? He professed that Christ, Jesus, that Jesus was the Messiah Israel had been promised and was waiting on. And then He comes down in verse number 18 and says, I will build my church. Now, it wasn't upon Peter, we know that. It was upon Peter's profession of faith. But notice this, that profession of faith was a supernatural work of God. So for a person to get into the church, listen to me, is a supernatural work of God. A person can come to a church, they can, you know, join the church or be baptized and be baptized, sign a card, put money in the offering plate, all those type of things. Can I tell you, that doesn't get you into the church. That makes you a member of the local assembly. And every believer needs to be a member of the local church. We'll talk about that later on. But this required a supernatural birth to get into that church. So we're going to talk about the importance of the local church. Now, we're going to go to Ephesians 5 in a minute. Just by way of introduction, some other things that I had thought about. We can honestly say this, in 2017, and it's been this way for years, the local church has hit some hard times. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Say, preacher, are you sure the local church has hit some hard times? Look around. Look around you. Where is everybody? Now look, as soon as I say that, I've got to stop and cross every T and dot every I. I know folks are sick. Understand that. But I also know that folks go to Walmart. You know, I'm not unaware of that fact. But I understand some folks are sick and can't come. I understand that. The time may get to where I will be incapacitated, not able to come. I understand that. I hope that day never comes. But I understand that some folks just can't make it. So when I say that, I can't always cross every T and dot every I, and I can't give every theological truth in every message. But just understand this, there are people who could be here this morning who aren't here this morning. Now I said all that to say this, why is that so? Well, there are some folks, we got two extremes, there are some folks who have grown so tired of traditional church that what they've done is they've left the old way of doing things. They've gone to the seeker-friendly churches where they feel a lot more comfortable. They feel comfortable in the sense of having a place where they can come in. It's not churchy. It's not preachy. The emphasis is on love and on community. They want you to feel part of something. And there's nothing wrong with that. But friend, you can get down, you can join the Boy Scouts. Or you can join the overgrown Boy Scouts. You know, you can join the lodges or whatever and fulfill some fraternity. But brother, that's not the church. That's not the church. We have a sense of community, but not community for community's sake. Community around the person of Christ. Now, having said that, here's some other people. And by the way, the reason a lot of folks join those type churches is because those type churches do not preach Bible doctrine. Now, I'm not telling you we're the only church that preaches it. The preachers I get in here, they are preachers of Bible doctrine. The pastors of the churches that I get in here who preach here, they are preachers of Bible doctrine. What does the Bible say and teach? That's what we need to be concerned about. And can I just say this? Can I jump a rabbit? I see him, and I'm gonna shoot him right now. I don't understand. I just don't understand it. Folks will say, "Well, I just don't find the Bible interesting." Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? That Bible is written for you. That Bible is written specifically for you if you are a believer. Well, I'm just not interested in it. Thinking, stop. Let's stop and think about that. You go to your doctor. You've got lung problems. You go to your pulmonologist. You go in there and he listens to your lungs. He hears what's going on. Doc, can you tell me a little bit about that? Well, I'm really not interested in all of the lung. I'm only interested in, you know, how the air gets down into them. I'm not really interested in treating all those diseases. Is that the kind of doctor you want to go to? It took me forever to learn. I found on the internet people would say like SMH. What is that? I had to go look it up. Shake my head. I had to go look it up. I didn't know what it meant. Yeah, shake my head. I had to look it up. What's that? SMH. Yeah, I was just like, yes, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I didn't know what that was. I had to go look it up. I was SMHing because I didn't know what SMH meant. But the avenue many folks have taken is to go to a church that doesn't preach doctrine and folks are not interested in biblical truth. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot I don't know and there are a lot of shortcomings that I have. But I'm going to tell you something. That Sunday morning, when I walked out that back door, there was a desire in my heart to open that Bible and to see what God had to say. You know how old I was? I was 18 years old. 18 years old and had a desire to see what the Bible had to say. So when someone says, well, you can't expect young people. But look, I expect you all, if you're saved, I expect you to have an appetite for the Bible. And that's why I'm not up here going to do little, you know, flannel graph is good for the kids. But I'm not going to get up here and do a flannel graph. This is Jonah. Here's the whale. Swallow Jonah. Yada-da. I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because y'all are old enough to be able to understand things. You all are old enough. There ought to be if you're a believer, there ought to be an appetite for the Bible. There ought to be. Now here's the other part. Not the other part. The other part of this is where people have left the local church completely. And here's what they'll say. Well, you can live just as well at home as you can at church. I was told that somebody I know personally, not here, said that. To know what you don't know, it wasn't anybody in here. Most of y'all probably wouldn't even know who it is. But somebody had mentioned this. You can just live, it was a little child said to her Sunday school teacher, my daddy said that you can live just as well at home and be just as right with God and you don't have to go to church. Well, I'm going to make a very bold statement because I put it on Facebook yesterday. And here it is. The Bible knows nothing of Christianity that is divorced from the local church. I'm going to say this. Someone says, well, I can be just as right at home and not go to church. What I want us to do is I want us to look just for a minute and consider that. So I want you to keep that statement in the back of your mind when we look at some of these scriptures, okay? What did Jesus say he was going to build in verse number 18? The church. Now, he's not talking about some invisible universal body. He's talking about the institution of the church. Just like I say, you know, one of the problems in America today is the home. Well, there's not a big home up in the sky we're all having a problem with. It's like the institution of the home. He's talking about the institution of the church he's going to build. Now, here's what I want us to look at as we move on. The first thing I want us to see is look in Ephesians chapter 5. So flip forward in your Bible there a few books to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, and we're going to look in verse number 25. Everybody there? Husbands, love your wives. I figured every woman in here would go, hallelujah, amen, yes, amen, preach it, brother. I didn't get that. That's okay. Husbands, love your wives. Brother Kevin didn't say how hard it was. Okay. I know, brother. All of us men were wired the same way. Yeah. No matter how hard we may think it may be at some times, our wives are a great blessing. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Now look at this. Husbands, love your wives. Look at this. Even as Christ also, looky here, loved the church. Christ loved the church. There is a sense in which Christ died for the world. Don't get me wrong. The free offer of the gospel is to every creature on the planet. But specifically, the blood of Christ bought the church. Now watch this. Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. The first thing I want to say about the local church, can we get away with not having church attendance? Can I not come to church? Is that, you know, that type thing? Is it okay to live apart from the church? First thing I want us to see is the price paid for the church. The price paid for the church. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He gave Himself for the church. Something else I wrote down and that I didn't get earlier is this. The church, when the Lord, we talk about the church here and people say, well, I'm going to go to one of these bigger community centers or I'm going to just stay at home altogether. The church really is an entity that was to be separate from the world and to which God's people separated themselves. The church is to be separate from the world, and then God's people separate themselves unto the church. Why do we do that? Because somebody paid a high price for it. Go out and spend $250,000 on a low-end Ferrari. And then take those keys and pitch it to some DST. Dumb, stupid teenager. Folks would say, there's no way I would let my son, daughter, their friend drive my brand new X, Y, or Z. Ford, Chevrolet, GMC, whatever. I'm not going to let anybody drive it. It's brand new. I can't afford to let them. But yet, the same people think higher of a vehicle than they do the local church because a much greater price was paid for the church than for that vehicle. And oftentimes, we treat the church as a teenager being given keys to a Ferrari, to a Lamborghini, you know, get a Lotus Esprit Turbo. Yeah, boy, here I am. Four cylinder, 160 miles an hour. Woohoo! Yeah, you're going to tear that thing all to pieces. That's how we treat the church oftentimes. But a high price was paid for it. A high price was paid for it. The second thing I want you to see, let's flip back a couple of books to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Jesus paid a price for the church. Second Corinthians chapter 11. look at verse number 23. Paul is giving his resume for his being a minister of the gospel. He says this, are they ministers of Christ? These people who are accusing him. He says, I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more oft. In deaths oft. Oft means often. Just a short way of saying that. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Why in the world was Paul doing that? Can somebody tell me what Paul was doing when all this took place? He was not out and about on a glorified vacation in the Mediterranean basin. What Paul was doing was taking and putting blood, sweat, and tears, literally blood, sweat, and tears, into establishing and edifying and building up local New Testament churches because that was what God called him to do. Look at verse number 28. Beside those things which that are without, all these things come on me without, all these persecutions, all these things, watch this. That which cometh upon me daily. Looky here. The care of all the churches. Paul's heart was in the church. Paul's heart was in the church. Number one, the price paid for the church. Number two, Paul poured his life out for the church. Too many people are in the kiddie end of the pool. Here's what we need to do. We need to get up ready and just jump all the way in to the church. And I'll say, jump on in, the water's just fine. People need to jump into the church. Jump all the way in. What do I mean by that? I'm telling this, that what we need to do is jump full-fledged into church. Into the church. What did Paul do? He poured his life into it. Someone says, well, preacher, I work a full-time job. I can't do that. Paul worked a full-time job. Paul worked and labored making tents. The only thing most of us men can sow is seeds in our garden. This man was sewing together tent material. You ever work with canvas? You ever work with animal skin? You know how hard it is to I've done a little bit of leather work. There is no taking a needle and sticking it through the leather or pulling it through and then coming back. No, you got to punch holes in that. And to be able to do it, you have to be able to know where those holes need to be punched. Paul was not some ignorant hillbilly. Paul was a man who was a skilled tradesman, a skilled craftsman. And he worked full time, and then he also took care of the nature of the church. Yeah, I know, understand. Paul wasn't married, didn't have family. He didn't have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and, you know, traveling ball clubs and, you know, candy sales and cheerleading practice. He didn't have all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you this, if he had all that stuff, you know what he would have done? He backed away from it, went into the church. And don't get mad at me. My kids do 4-H. We don't do 4-H on Wednesday night. We don't do it on Sunday. My kids played ball. When they played ball, we didn't play on Wednesday night. We didn't play on Sunday. We didn't play during revival meeting time. That's how we did things. That was just the standard that I drew up for my family. Because God had paid such a great price for the church, Paul poured his life into the church. Ought not I to have a similar response to that? Now here's something else. Go back to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse 41. There's one particular, there are two words I want to look at in this passage. Two words I want to look at, but there's one particular word I want us to consider. Now, what I'm preaching doesn't just qualify for our church. It goes for every single Bible-believing church on the planet. So sometimes when I preach this, I feel like some people think that, well, you know, that's almost cultish. We're not trying to be cultish. What I want us to understand is the local church is the most important organism and organization on the face of the planet. Having said that, we're not the only one. There are others all over the place who preach the truth. Thank God. And we want to try to help those missionaries from Bible-believing churches to establish Bible-believing churches. Now, look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. He tells them how they need to be saved. And so they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Looky here. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Two words I want us to see. We can talk about the doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers, but two words I want us to see is this. And they what? They continued steadfastly. Continued is the verb. Steadfastly is the adverb. Okay? Continued is the verb. Steadfastly is the adverb. Okay. Number one, these people continued. They went forth. When people start the Christian journey but they don't continue, that is a good indication that there's a heart issue, a very deep heart issue. 1 John 2, they went out from us. Why? Because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continue with us. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. Brother, just check back there and make sure that car didn't pull around back over the back or anything. Brother, I hate to pull you out. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. So, may not have, so I'll make sure. But here's the thing. They continued steadfastly. They continued. There was a desire for them to keep going in what they had heard. They were saved, they were baptized, and they continued. That's the Christian life. What did they continue in? The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Why is the local church important? Because of the price paid, because Paul poured out his life for the church, but not only that, but we see the pattern set by the early church. The early church's pattern is that they continued steadfastly. Good, thank you. I didn't want to go out there and no dog be there and Hannah just be crazy. So, yeah. The pattern of the early church. Are we continuing? Or are we continuing steadfastly? That's a question that I'd like for us to ask ourselves. Am I continuing steadfastly? And when I look at the church world at large today, mostly what I see is a lot of, and I'm saying this not because I'm anybody, but I'm saying this after being saved for 26 years, been preaching for 20 years, so I've had a chance to see the lay of the land for quite a while. What I see is a lot of half-heartedness, playing, I hate to say play church, but I see a lot of that in churches today. I see that. I see where the church takes a back seat. When grandma comes over, or the church is having meeting, the church loses out to grandma. When the buddies come in to go out fishing for the weekend, they come in on Friday, they're going to leave on Sunday afternoon, head back home. You're just going to fish Friday, Saturday, and then Saturday night into Sunday morning. And you're so either they're there or you're so tired, the church loses out. That's what I've seen. And it's amazing. As an employer, if a man is an employer and he employs people in his business, he expects them to be there Monday, let's say Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. Let's just say that's the way it is. Maybe 7 to 7, 8 to 8, but let's just say 8 to 5. He expects them to be there and put their time in. And that's just something that we all agree that is natural, and we need to do that. But when I as a pastor tell church folks, we have church on Sunday morning at 9:45 Sunday school. If you're not here, you've missed part of the service. We have church at 10:45. We have prayer room at 5:30. We have service at 6. And we have church on Wednesday night at 7. When I say that to people, they look at me like I'm a nut. So my question is, why is it that we have a greater allegiance toward our employer and not the God who gave us the health to be employed? The God who one day is going to give us our great payday at the end of the line. Why is that? I mean, I heard a preacher say this. It might have been Donnie Harvey. You know, he said, you can go to the doctor. You know, the doctor will tell you smoking is bad. The government now will tell you the smoking's bad. They put the labels on there. Everybody tells you smoking's bad. And then the preacher, and you're like, okay, I understand, I know. And then the preacher gets up and says, smoking is bad, the preacher's meddling now. Why is that? It has to do with an attitude of our heart, of whether or not we are going to put ourselves into submission to what God says. That is something we've got to consider. We've really got to consider that. Caleb, get ready. You got to see. Go ahead and ring that first bell, and then ring the other one here in about 5 minutes, and that'll give us about 6 minutes, 7 minutes till church time starts. So they continued steadfastly. I would love to see a revival of steadfastness. Now, I understand. I know some folks, you work shift work. You work, you know, 4 days on, 3 days off. There's just some way, it's not possible. It's just, I understand that. I understand sometimes you're delivering until, you know, 9:30 at night. You know, sometimes that happens. I understand that. I mean, you may be in Florida, but taking a load to Florida. I understand. Sometimes those things happen. But we ought not to be a people who, given a choice of whether or not we're going to be faithful to God's house or do some other activity, we ought not to be the people who give God second place. So there was a pattern set for us. Now let's go to the last one I'm going to look at, Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, probably the classic passage on the house of God. Chapter 10. And this is just some sweet scripture. It is delicious to the spiritual man. Look at verse number 19 just to give us some context. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Let's look in verse number 19 where it says, having therefore. You found your place, say amen. All right, Hebrews 10:19. The key verse is verse 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Oh yes. Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now how does that provoking to love and good works happen? Now first of all, look at verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. It's not just the preacher who encourages you to live right, who encourages you to walk with God, who encourages you to have good works. It is you as a church encouraging one another. Me encouraging you, you encouraging me. We all encourage one another to love and to good works. We encourage one another. Look at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, do we need to get any books to find out what that means? That is very, very plain. Not forsaking. To forsake assembling is just the same thing you would do if you were to forsake your home, your land, your child, your job. You would walk away from it.
Right.
Here's the thing. We live in such a churchified age, we can walk away from it while standing in it. The body's here, and the lights are on, but ain't nobody home. Because our hearts are somewhere else. I told you, I'm the blackest dog in the bunch. I've been in prayer time. Miss Elizabeth, when we were at Ridgeview, we sat right there where you're sitting, where the whole family sat. And I kept Caleb and Josh in front of me so I could smack them if they got out of line. Amen. I didn't have to too much. But that's where I sent them up there. And Miss Elizabeth, sitting where you're sitting, I laid out my garden. I tilled it. I planted it. I rotated my crops. Now, I didn't get to the weeding part. I knew I needed to, but I just kind of passed over that. I rotated my crops. I built my chicken coop. The lights were on. My body was there, but my mind and my heart were someplace else. So I'm not preaching this to you as if I have never done this before. I'm telling you this because that's where I have been before. I know the tendency of this human flesh. That's where I've been. And if I'm not careful, that's where I'll move back into. Can I tell you, I can be standing up here reading out of the Bible, speaking, and my mind be 1,000 miles away. Just because it's not in the pew doesn't mean it can't be up here.
Right.
Oh, me.
Yeah,
oh, me. We see in the Lord Jesus' life the price paid for the church. In Paul's life, he poured out his life for the church. In Acts 2, we see the pattern of the early church. And in Hebrews 10:25, we see that the Holy Ghost places a priority on the church. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Look here, as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another. And so much the more you see the day approaching. Some people say, I wish he would quit telling me I need to come to church. Look what the Bible says. As the manner of some is, but what exhorting one another. Exhorting one another says, hey, come to church. Where you been? We missed you. You need to get in. You need to come in and jump in with both feet. Get on and work and help us out. That's what it means to go in and to exhort one another. That means to exhort David. David, you're doing a great job singing. I wish I could get up there and lead singing like you do, and I can't hit them high notes like you can hit them. And I know they're tough, but David, great job singing. Young folks, you did a great job singing up here in the youth choir. Praise God, that was good. Brother Roger has a great job playing that guitar. Man, that was good. I wish I could play that guitar that way. You know, we just encourage one another. That needs to happen. And the only place that's going to happen is in the local church. The only place it's going to happen. So, hopefully, some point in time, within the next month and a half, I'm going to come back to this. And I'm probably going to encourage, I'm going to exhort folks to be at Sunday school to get these truths so that we can go forward and help. And can I just bare my heart to you for just a minute or two? I know we're on Facebook. There are so many things I want to preach to the church. And there's so many things I want to go through. But what happens is I start a series or something, and I go on Sunday night, and the people who need to hear that aren't here.
Right.
I thought about preaching a message on how to kill your pastor. And one of the best ways to kill the pastor is don't come to church on Sunday night. Don't show up for Sunday school. What's one of the best ways? When you parents, see, I say you parents here, well, there's some of us here who are in both Bobby and Crystal and then me and then, you know, Brother Michael's getting ready to enter into it again. Of course, you're right there. Just, well, stop and think about this. We have kids at home. Love them kids. Love them. But listen to me. One of these days, they're going to leave. You're going to want to see him come back. And it's going to break your heart when they don't come back. You're going to want to see that. Can I tell you, I feel the same way when we have folks who come only on Sunday morning and don't come back on Sunday night. Again, I understand people are sick. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. That happens. One of these days I may get sick. We had everything going on last year in our family. There was a Sunday night. My wife got out of the hospital. Hey, you know, we were there. Come on in. But I want to tell you the best thing to do to help me out, keep me from getting discouraged. Can I be discouraged? Yeah, I'm really discouraged. 55 people on Sunday morning and then you get 30 people on Sunday night. It's like, where'd everybody go? Help Jesus. Help us. I says, I'm busy. I got things I got to do. I told Alan, I said, I've called you up sometimes. I've talked to you. I've said, brother, I know it sounds bad. I'm just telling somebody just so I don't feel bad about doing it, but I'm going to take this afternoon off so I can get some yard work and stuff done around the house. Well, preacher, just go ahead and do it if you would. Yeah. You know, just tell somebody. I got stuff I got to get done. I mean, I'm busy. I got stuff I've got to do. But let's put a priority on the local church. Sunday school is at 9:45. Service is at 10:45. Service at 6. Wednesday night at 7. And if we're not providentially hindered, God help us. Help us to be here. Now, I'm not nagging, I'm exhorting. Because that's the King James Bible word, I am exhorting. Out of Hebrews 10:25. Father, thank you for the Sunday school hour. I pray that you'd bless it. And ask you, Lord, to help us as we go through these truths and we start back up. And be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Help us, God, in the after service. I say the after service, the service we are getting ready to go into, Father. I pray that you would bless us and help us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.